In today's episode, I got to sit down in person with my guest, Teddy Garrigan, the co-founder of Coco and Dash. And we were together at the Dallas Market Center. So if you get to watch this, you'll see us in person. But this is a really great conversation. I loved Teddy. We became fast friends. Like, we just instantly hit it off. And she is very influential in the industry. She's just a powerful, dynamic businesswoman. And I loved our conversation. We talked about social media and running a business with your family member. And it was just a great, engaging conversation live at Market. So thank you, Dallas Market Center, for having us. Before we dive in, here's a little bit more about my guest. Teddy Garrigan is one half of the dynamic partnership with daughter Courtney Garrigan, whose personal and creative style is the foundation for the award-winning home decor retail shop Coco and Dash. Coco and Dash offers exceptional furnishings, lighting, art, and accessories, and encompasses an in-house design studio. Coco and Dash Interiors is the design arm of the business and has created beautiful homes in Texas, Washington, D.C., New York, and California. They're a three-time winner of the Arts Awards for Best Home Decor Shop in the Midwest, Southwest, and Southwest, was named by Paper City Magazine as one of the most beautiful stores in Texas in 2023, one of House Beautiful's best shops in America in 2015, and has been named the Best of D Magazine and Best of D Home Magazine. At the heart of the Coco and Dash brand story is the promise of creating a home that celebrates the spirit of Southern hospitality and a life well-lived through unpretentious luxury, style, and comfort. All right, get ready for a great interview with me and Teddy. Welcome to Rooted in Retail. I'm your host, Crystal Vilkaitis. Here, we have engaging and informative conversations with successful indie retailers and industry experts. Together, we learn, connect, and grow. Don't miss our live after the show every Tuesday night in the Rooted in Retail Facebook group. All right, here's today's episode. Thank you, Dallas Market Center, for having us. Teddy, welcome to Rooted in Retail.
Fun to see you. We were just together yesterday.
I know, we were. We had such a great conversation about Instagram and social media marketing, and I want to get into that. But first, will you just tell our listeners a little bit about you and your store?
My daughter and I own a retail store in Dallas, and it's called Coco and Dash, and we are home decor, and we also do interior design, but we're merchants at heart. We are retailers, and that's where our love really lies. We've had our store, we're going on our 11th year, and we just love this industry.
Yeah, you're doing some really cool stuff in the industry, and I really encourage our listeners to follow you on Instagram, because that was a big conversation we had yesterday. Beautiful feed, but the way that you write captions, the way that you connect with your audience is very much true to you and personalized. And so I want to ask you, because we have a lot of listeners that, and this came up yesterday in our session, fear around using social media. They're hiding, they're holding themselves back. If there's somebody listening to this podcast right now who's like, I know I could be doing more, but I'm afraid of fill in the blank, what would you say to help encourage them?
I would say you have to put yourself out there, but you only put out there what is truly reflective of who you are. Instagram is full of personalities, and it's easy to get caught up in thinking that you have to be somebody else's, fit their image. And so it's why I believe, and you and I have talked about it, that people have to find their own voice first. And that is simply looking at why you have your store, what you want to accomplish with that store, and then who your people are, who is your audience, and what do you want to say to those? It's just like if talking to somebody one-on-one. What do you want your customer to walk away with that's watching you on Instagram?
Yeah. And I think that the risk is too high to not be connecting through these platforms. You mentioned yesterday that you'll post. You're pretty consistent. And you posted something that your store is here in Dallas, but somebody in Colorado saw. Will you tell that story?
Oh, the architecture firm. So we posted what we call Walk the Shop. And the next day we got a phone call from an architect design firm, and their client follows us and had seen some things. And they said, we want to buy some things from that shop. So they had us go through the shop and video it a little bit slower. I just did it on my phone. And we sent this to them, and they placed an order that was in the tens of thousands of dollars without ever setting foot in our store. But that truly, we have that happen a lot, not always multi tens of thousands of dollars, but we sell a lot just through Instagram. Someone will see something, and I don't post a lot of product. If you have noticed, every now and then a consistent look, but I try and have a good balance between design and the retail side. But when I do post a product, the interaction is lower. But I think what people don't remember, if you see a like on an Instagram post and it's 20 people, let's say, people get really downtrodden about that. And they think, if you picture 20 people in front of you and they're responding to what you say, that's a good thing. That's a good number of people. Don't focus on Instagram accounts that are getting thousands of likes on an image or a message, because those people may like that image or message, but that doesn't mean it's really resonating or they're going to act on that. To me, if 5 people like something or 5,000 people like something, I keep it pretty balanced as far as how I think this is what the post message is. It's still out there. I would urge all business owners to have a business Instagram account. And that's just a simple click. It's easy to do. And then you get all of the analytics, which is your area of, I use them, but if that's your area.
Yeah, you get analytics. You'll have access to ads, which is great too, if you are wanting to invest in the platform that way. I'm really glad you said that though, about not getting caught up in the likes, because there were a lot of your posts that I was looking at. You'll have a lot of the 5,000, 10,000. You get some really good engagement. You have about 21,000 people that follow you on Instagram.
25,000.
Yeah. And you'll post, and some of these posts are getting 10,000 likes, almost 50%. But I would read comments and it's beautiful. But then I would see a product post that had 74 likes. Compared to 10,000, right? 74. But I was reading the comments and people are like, do you sell this? Do you have this?
Right.
It's more of that quality. So we really want to measure success, not on, like, you can take into account how are people interacting with my content and what are they liking to see? But it's really about those results. Are they DMing? Are they commenting to buy it? Are they coming in and show? Do you have that happen? They come in and show you a picture of something and they're like,
Oh, yeah. Or they'll also send something through. Our business cards have way too much of a personal information. Our cell phones are on there. And so we'll have people text pictures and say, you know, do you still have this? That kind of thing. And we're getting ready to change that because that's gotten a little out of hand. But the key takeaway to me is those 10,000 people aren't going to come in and buy in our store. Our store wouldn't hold them. But those 45 people that have engaged have a true interest in what they're looking at.
Yep.
So whether you sell products that are in the $5, $25, I don't know, everybody has a different price range. Right. That's what you want to look at, is that engagement and the comments. And in respect to the comments, I think it is so important to respond to every person. To me, people who do not respond to the comments on their Instagram is the equivalent of someone speaking to you in person and you just don't respond or don't acknowledge them. And those people are taking their time to respond to something I've said. And it's interesting, my daughter, people always assume my daughter's the one who does the Instagram, and I do it. And I could even do it on my walker if I had to. I'm almost that age, but it's fun. It keeps you in touch with your business. And that's also another beauty of Instagram. When you're posting regularly and you're thinking about posts, it keeps you in touch with what your message is for your customer and what you want to do. And it's really about those two things. It's about you and your customer. It's not about Sally Smith, who's got 50,000 followers and walks around in a ball gown. That isn't it. That's not me. That isn't what you're going to see on our Instagram. And as long as you use your voice, because I can guarantee you, if you and I sat down and had a conversation, you would have a fascinating story about your store and how you got in this business and how you work. Every person in here has that story. And that's what Instagram viewers, it's what resonates with them, is the personal story. Now, what we don't do, we don't post if we take a trip. We don't say, here we are. We don't do that. We talk about business. We talk about ethics in business. We talk about principles. We talk about, I just talk about what I would, like you and I have had conversations, those kinds of things. And those are the posts that really get a tremendous amount of feedback, because then people start understanding who you are and why they want to do business with you. And it's not because I'm not the youngest person in the room. I'm not the most beautiful person in the room. I really literally don't walk around in ball gowns and, you know,
you should
in my shop and posing. All that. Just sometimes I go in my shop, I have on no makeup. No, you know, I might have on tennis shoes. So that's the reality. And people need to know retail is a hard business.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard. It's physical and it's a mental drain sometimes. And it's okay to let people know. I've posted before and said, okay, I've got a little bit of a writer's block here. I'm not sure what to post. And especially when something, I don't think you and I did talk about this, but if there's like some kind of crisis in the world, I tend to feel that. And because of what I sell, what kind of shop I have, it's very aspirational. And so it becomes very hard for me to talk about something in design or this product when I'm thinking, oh my God, these people's homes were just destroyed and they have no money. So I stay in tune with those feelings. And I talk about those things on Instagram, and our followers and our customers respond to that because they're having those feelings and they see, oh my gosh, she's just like us. I'm just like they are. And it's a good platform for me, but it's also sends a good message, I think, to everyone.
For sure. Well, and it's connection. When you're talking about some of the real life stuff that's happening in the moment and the rest of the world is experiencing that too, it's not all the time sell, 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 sell.
Right.
And when you have your social content that is like that, where it's buy this, this is on sale, this just came in, the consumer starts tuning that out.
It's noise. It becomes noise.
Yeah. So you can have the occasional where we are talking about that, but you do have to be real. You have to be human. And that's where the connection will come in. When you are addressing those things,
it's like the introduction that we do.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They'll do an occasional, which I recommend every retailer to do this. You could do this monthly. Talk about your introduction post you do.
If I notice there's a big bump in followers, I do something. I just call it, have we met? And I will have like a picture sometimes of Courtney and myself. And then I talk about why we open this store, what our business principles are, what we believe in, why we do business with the people we do business with. And the one thing we never talk about is politics. Never, ever do we do that. If you want to do that, that's up to you. It's not my job to promote my beliefs and push that out there. And that's not good for your business. But I would say that you will find people will love hearing, like for us, we could not find the things that we were looking for in one of the largest cities in the United States. Courtney, literally, we were on a trip somewhere and she said, we should start our own shop. And I was reading a magazine or something. I said, okay. And the next thing I knew, we had trucks unloading stuff and we haven't stopped since. But it wasn't this long thought out. It took us a year to get open, but it wasn't this long thought out plan. We did have a business plan. We revisit that every year, all those things. But I do talk about how that shop, if you go on our Instagram, you can find Have We Met, and you can see, and people resonate with it.
They do. They really do. And that's great content monthly for the new people that are there to get to know you. Hey, real quick. Retail, marketing, technology, business is changing incredibly quick, like faster than we've ever seen it before. And this is exactly why I created the conference Evolve, which is a marketing conference made exclusively for independent retailers. This will help you know what's working today, help you stay up to date, help you leverage these tools so you do not get left behind. I do not want you to be left behind. So join the over 200 retailers that already have their tickets. We've got over 12 speakers. We've got amazing sponsors. You'll have time for networking and support with your other retailers who are attending. This is the conference of the year that you are not going to want to miss. Go to crystalmediaco.com/evolve to learn more and get your tickets before prices keep going up. I hope to see you at Evolve. I want to switch gears a little bit. You mentioned Courtney a few times, which is your daughter. So you and your daughter run the store. And I want to know, how do you balance the family and business dynamic?
Oh my gosh, that's a good one, isn't it? I adore working with my daughter, and she is one smart cookie. And this was her idea. And she really is. I focus on the marketing and a lot of the creative direction for the store, but she is like creative and business brains. And we have such a good relationship. We've always had a good relationship. She's my only daughter. And yet, this is where some of my background came in. I had a different profession, but Courtney and I started going through this kind of after about 4 years where we felt like we were butting heads on things. And her degree is in counseling. I'm a crisis management specialist. I'm a communication specialist. So I said to her one day, I said, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I used to be paid to figure these kinds of things out. You were paid to figure these kinds of things out. Honest to God, we went to a counselor and said, what's going on here? And it was because Courtney would say something to me. And what I would hear was, sit down, mama. You're too old to be doing this. And that wasn't at all what she was saying, but that's what I was hearing. And when I would say, I want to do this, she was hearing, you don't know enough about this. I know more. It was all that mother-daughter dynamic, which we don't have in anything else except business is where it poked its head up. And we love working together and we're a very close family, but we did that. We went to about 3 sessions and it was all figured out. And we have a wonderful man named Trey Hoffman, who is our store manager. And he's like family to us. He's been with us for years. And every now and then if he hears Courtney and I talking, and it may sound a little contentious, which that's just kind of our personalities, but he'll say, maybe you two should take a little trip to the therapist. So we get, okay, we need to back off of this. But working with family is a blessing, but there are unique obstacles that you can run into.
What would you say to somebody listening to this that's thinking about going into business with a family member?
Oh, I think it's a wonderful idea. I think this industry is perfect for family businesses, especially retail. I think when you have a mother, daughter, a mother, whether it could be a mother and a son, but let's say a mother and a daughter, you know that there's going to be a natural transition at, I'm not going to be in this business forever. And yet Courtney will carry on. And it makes so many things like succession plans and stuff like that makes it so easy. And I think there's no one you'll ever find that you can trust more than a family member when you have a healthy relationship and understand like the bottom line for us is we had to define roles and responsibilities.
Yes. Clear communication.
Very clear.
Boundaries. Who's doing what? I also love that you went to therapy because we can have the perception of what we think you mean something is when it's not
when
at
it isn't.
All what you're saying.
And
so
we are experts in those fields.
Right.
But when it becomes personal, you don't see those things. It's a
different
thing.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And I agree. I think there's a lot of families that do work retail. We have a lot of retailers that are mom and daughter or son and father. And it's so special to see what they create together. So I'm all for it, too. And we brought Dustin, my fiance, onto the team. which is, we were just having this conversation last night over dinner. It's been so nice. Thankfully,
we work well together. How's that working?
It's going well, thankfully. We've always said we could never work together. And then here we are, and it's actually going really well. So that's a good thing for us.
Roles and responsibilities.
Exactly. Getting really clear on that. I completely agree. Now, switching gears to a totally different topic again. You, when we were prepping for this, you sent me an email and you said, I have a real passion these days for how real estate development is impacting small retailers. So will you talk about where's this passion coming from and what are you seeing and unpack that a little bit for us?
So I place retailers in two categories. There are major urban area retailers, and then there are all the other retailers in the country that are in smaller. Urban retailers have a unique set of challenges and obstacles. And for years, we heard that the internet was what was going to kill retail, that it was e-commerce. That is not going to kill retail. What is damaging to retail, especially in urban areas, is real estate development. Because what happens is these areas where you have all, and my street is a perfect example where our store is. We're in the Knox Henderson area. It used to be all mom and pop shops, little independent retailers, antique shops. And in the 10, almost 11 years we've been there, there are almost 30 shops that are gone.
Wow.
They're all replaced by Restoration Hardware, Pottery Barn. And if any buyers are here from there, I'm not bashing your business. It's just that it's displacing.
Right.
The real estate development is displacing what we call the soul of the city, because that's what people want to do. When we travel, we want to find in little small shops. I think there's nothing more depressing than landing in a place where you're going on vacation and you see a Chico's and a Talbot's and a, and I, you know, you just left someplace where there's a Chico's and a Talbot's. And there's nothing wrong with Chico's and Talbot's. It's just that it impacts the kind of businesses that we have. So to me, I've learned that, and I've done a lot of research on this and I'm following it a lot. New York is a perfect example of what's happened. So many independent shops are gone. And we're seeing it in Dallas. There's a very popular, used to be a little town called McKinney, not far from Dallas. And they are now going back and forth with their city council, these small shop owners, because there is a plan to revitalize their beautiful downtown, historic downtown area. And what that means, it's code for out with all the old and charming.
Right.
And in with the hip and the apartments. We see it all over in our city, in this city. And I see it when we travel in other cities. You can spot, and there are code words when they talk about gentrification. That means we're going to push everybody out except the highest end.
Right.
And for instance, we pay $62 a square foot for our store space. That's a lot of money. That's a lot. It's gone up 220%.
Wow.
Since we opened. You have to come up with, you know, of course we're looking and our landlords know we're looking elsewhere, but that is an obstacle. And so when people say to us, oh, it'll be so much fun to own a retail store and we want to open a retail, there's a lot of business information that you need to know. And not the least is what is going on with real estate in your community or where it is that you want to be. Because however progressive that development is, the amount of impact it's going to have on small businesses.
For sure. And they should get involved, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's probably one of the best things they could do.
Yes. Get involved.
Get involved. Yeah. And do your research. Know what's coming.
Do your research. You know, is your town ripe for the pickings or what does it look like? And you may own your building, which that's key.
That is key.
Own your building.
Yes.
I mean, if you can do that.
For sure.
You're golden.
Yeah. Yeah. We have an episode we'll link to. I interviewed my mentor, Patricia Norns, where it's all about real estate leases and questions to ask and about owning and if you're going to open a second location, what to look for in that area. So we'll link to that episode. Teddy, I would love to know, obviously, Instagram is driving some traffic for you and sales. You mentioned that earlier. What's one other thing that you're seeing generate sales that's working well for you right now?
So we are a destination store. We get very little just somebody walking in off the street. And because we're in a little building, it's 100 years old and it's a lot of restaurants, but they're not all open. We're just not a real walkable area. And so we're a destination. And when someone comes in the door, we generally know they got in their car and they were headed to us. And we get people from all over the country that will come and shop with us. We get people from Mexico that will fly to shop with us. I don't know that there's one thing. I think it all revolves around the message that we put out there to the public, because we're not easily accessible. We're not somebody you're just going to drive by where there are a lot of other shops. And the only other shops near in our building are clothing boutiques. And we've been in the building longer than anybody. And then there's an architect build firm, which we love having them there. But, you know, I don't know that there's any one thing other than we are consistent with our message and it is always top of mind.
Yeah. Your top, it's awareness.
It is awareness.
And obviously social media is a great way from an awareness perspective. Do you do anything with like email marketing?
Every now and then we will. And, you know, we have the book where people can sign their names. And but the reason we don't is I think people are so inundated with email marketing these days. And Courtney and I agree that they don't need to be getting something from us, because everybody that we would have on our list, even though they've been in the store, that may not be what they want. So we're very conscientious about their using that in a respectful way. So if we have an event, which is, we're also very particular about the kinds of events that we do. Right. And when we do them, we'll send out an email maybe about that, but we rarely do sales. Every now and then we do, but we rarely do sales. We don't use them for that.
Okay.
I didn't do them, for instance, I didn't send out an email for our other engagement that you and I were right. involved in, but I posted on Instagram about it. So for us, I think you have to know your customer.
Absolutely.
You just have to know your customer.
Yeah. It sounds like you, from our session yesterday and now, you really understand your customer. You know how to find them. You know how to speak to them. You know what they want. And that could be one of the big things that leads to the success.
We did the composition of what our customer is. We took all these things that we were seeing and we created our customer we have a fake customer that we have named. And so we ask ourselves, would she do this?
Yes.
And would she like this? And what are her buying habits? And it's really a good exercise.
Yeah.
Because you will find that person generally reflects your personality almost without you even knowing it. So it's a fun exercise for us. We love doing it, but knowing that customer is key.
Yep. I agree. Does she have a name?
She does have a name.
What's her name?
Her name is Charlotte DeWinter. And yes, we're very dramatic and creative.
I was not expecting a last name. That's
so funny. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's DeWinter. And actually, she's named after a woman who used to be a customer at Neiman Marcus in like the 40s and 50s in Dallas. So that's where the last name comes from.
Okay. That's so good. So that's the thing. Anytime, this is such a good exercise for anybody listening. If you haven't created that customer, give them a name. And then when you're posting, it's easier to be like, would Charlotte love this?
Would she love this?
Would she engage? What else does she want? What does she need from us? What's keeping her up at night? Like really understanding.
And when
customer.
You buy, when we come to market, yeah, exactly. Courtney will say, you think Charlotte would like this?
Exactly.
And it becomes very personal. And you realize that you are really catering to this person's likes. And when we come to market, we never have a plan. We have no plan. We could not tell you what we're going to do. And it's all gut reaction to Charlotte. What's she going to do?
Yeah, that's really cool. Are you ready for the resilience round?
I am absolutely ready.
Let's do it. Okay, best business book.
Minding the Store by Stanley Marcus.
Ooh, okay. Best retail technology like software or
Instagram.
App? Instagram. Love it. Yep. How do you...
Facebook is for old people. Do not feel bad if you're not on Facebook.
Well, and I'll speak to that real quick, actually.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah. I shouldn't say that. Well, that's...
No, but I mean, we are still seeing some really good success on Facebook. It just depends
on Facebook,
where, yeah, where your customer is showing up. Yeah, exactly. But we tend to see the 40, 50 plus is on Facebook, but they're on Instagram too.
Ours are all in that range. They're in that 45 up range.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. How do you keep up with the ever changing landscape of retail?
We remain totally flexible. That is a key word in our business plan always, is be flexible. And I think COVID was a perfect example of that. Things are going to happen. Your plans are not going to unfold exactly as you want them to. And we always find our biggest problems come when things don't work out the way we envision them in our own head. And so flexibility, absolutely.
Yep. So good.
What you said earlier. There's always a solution. There's always
It's figure-outable.
Figure-outable.
Exactly. Marie Forleo says it all the time. Everything is figure-outable, and I so believe that. You just got to be a problem solver. Figure it out. To help retailers be more stronger and rooted in success, what's a foundational best practice as it relates to retail?
For me, I would say, truthfully, it is having excellent business principles. Our customers know that our business is based on solid business principles, but also integrity. We only buy from companies who have business practices that we respect and deal in a way that is honest and fair to all people, including their employees. So I would say integrity and principle.
It's a good one. If you had to start your business all over again, what's one thing you would do differently?
Buy my building.
Okay, fair enough. What is the future of independent retail look like?
I think that the future is very bright. I think it's exciting. And I've been coming to these markets for a long time, but I have felt this palpable, positive energy. And I think that we can't get caught up in the headlines. If you look throughout history, anytime we do that, and I'm going to just toss this in here. My degree is in political science and economics. And what you read is not what is going to happen all the time. People are guessing. It's a good informational tool, but you have to read your own area and you have to go forward. Keep doing what you're doing. Everything takes care of itself. And if something catastrophic happens, we're not going to stop it anyway. If you're a good business person, you know how far your risk, you know where your pain threshold is. And if you're mindful of that, I never like to hear people who operate from the platform of fear, because that will never present success.
Never.
It just doesn't. Yeah. You know, you take the risk, you do the work, and something good will come of it. And if something goes sideways, you fix it.
Yep. You figure it
out. You fix it.
Exactly. I love it. Teddy, where can people find more about you and connect with you?
Oh, well, Instagram. Welcome to Instagram, or they can come on our shop, to our shop, whatever. We love, people are welcome in our shop, whether they buy something or not. We have people that just come to visit because they want to decompress. Our people come in the store and we are this far from take what you want and leave your money on the counter. We don't hover over people. We want them to just enjoy. It's a beautiful setting.
It is. Yeah.
And sometimes we just need a place.
Thank you so much for being here. It means the world to me. Don't forget to join the Rise and Shine newsletter, which is social media news you need to know, sent via email every Monday morning. Go to crystalmediaco.com/rise to join. And don't miss the newest episode of Rooted in Retail, which drops every Sunday morning.